From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us as we, Lent is just around the corner, Ash Wednesday, near the end of February, so getting prepared for that as well. We're pleased and honored to be joined by Father Richard Cortese, National Director of the Marian Movement of Priests. Father, good day to you.
Good day to you. Hello.
Good to everybody. Good to have you on the program. Where are you located?
I'm in Jackson, Tennessee.
Oh, very good.
St. Mary's Parish, Jackson, Tennessee.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tennessee is, doesn't have the highest percentage of Catholics, but those that are there are very faithful.
Well, what you say is true. We're maybe about 5% Catholic, but we had to be very faithful to keep our Catholic faith strong.
That's right. Sometimes people talk about their strength in numbers, but sometimes small numbers make you more passionate, I think, sometimes.
That was very true, kind of like Gideon. The Lord reduced him down from, 30,000 to 300. And,
right.
And he won a great battle with just 300. So, the Lord's ways are very different from ours.
Indeed, they are. Father, tell us about the Marian Movement of Priests.
Well, it's a wonderful gift of the Immaculate Heart of Mary for the whole church and world today. It's a movement that began in 1972 when the founder, Father Stefano Gobbi, was praying for two of his brother priests. He was there at the site of the apparitions in Fatima on a pilgrimage.
Wow.
And as he prayed for these two priests, he was so concerned because they said that they were disillusioned with some of the things going on in the church, maybe some of her teachings and things like that. And instead of leaving, they were going to stay in the church to try to change the church from within. So it was a very grave situation. He was very concerned. And as he was praying for them, there at the very site where our Blessed Mother appeared to the three children of Fatima, he received an inner voice saying, yes, these are my children, and all of you are my children, and to help them, I would like you to found a Marian Movement of Priests.
Wow. And what year was this again?
It was in May of 1972.
So wow.
Going on almost 50 years ago. So talking with his spiritual director, he decided to ask for a sign, and one was given. It was indisputable. And so as a result, he got together with the first little group, or cynical it would be called, there in Como in northern Italy, the three of them. And they prayed for the Holy Spirit to come. They prayed 5 decades of the rosary. They especially prayed for the Holy Father, the Pope, the foundation and center of all unity for the church. And they made their consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Wow.
And it was truly a movement of Fatima. Really, the whole Mary Moon of Priests is Fatima. Everything that Our Lady did and said with the three children is at the very foundation of the Marian Movement of Priests. And so from that one little group of three priests, it is literally spread all over the world. And Father Stefano Gobbi spent the next 40 years of his life traveling the five continents, leading the cynicals, encouraging the brother priests, including bishops, and it would include deacons as well, and all the faithful, and especially families with children, to make the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as Our Lady had requested through the three children of Fatima. And there's been a great deal of success through the years over this. There are so many who have done it, but there's much more to be done. The consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary was the request at Fatima that alongside consecration and devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, God wanted also to have the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And so that's at the very center or core of Fatima and also the Mary Moment of Priest. Father Gobi, it's estimated he was on something like 1,500 flights through the years. Can you imagine? An amazing person. He passed away in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, you know, the movement has continued, you know, and we pray, we work towards that day when the triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will flower forth throughout all the church and the world. It'll be a time like no other, because when her Immaculate Heart triumphs, she will utterly crush Satan's head. He will be out forever in prison, in his prison of hellfire, with all the other demons forever. It'll be the greatest age of the Catholic Church. We will see wonderful conversions. Unity within all the Christian body will take place. Even, you know, you can just imagine, you know, our Muslims, brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, all those who have left the faith or who are kind of in that, what we call, general sense of faithlessness today, or atheism, all coming back together, you know, under Our Lady's, through the triumph of her Immaculate Heart.
Wow.
And it began, it really is wow. You know, I think of what happened at Guadalupe, you know, in 1531.
Right.
Those missionaries, as hard as they worked, had very, very few conversions. But when Our Lady appeared in 1531 to the Indians, St. Juan Diego, there were millions and millions of conversions of the Native Americans all within a short period of time. It was great power with devotion to Our Lady. And, of course, she is full of grace. I remember what St. Louis de Montfort said about Mary 300 years ago. One of her prayers before God is more powerful than that of all the other saints put together. That's amazing, isn't it? Full of grace, you know. What does that mean? She has a place unique of intercession before God. She's the humble servant of God, but she's the mother of the Son of God. And so she has a special role for us today. And in that sense, she is really working hard, you know, to bring about this, what Pope St. John Paul II called it, this new civilization of love. That's what Our Lady's heart is full of. It's full of love for everyone. We're all her children. And, you know, today there's such struggles, there's such trials, so much violence, there's killing, all this going on. But the power of our prayer is the greatest force that exists. And in the Mary Moment of Priest, Our Lady has asked two or more to gather together in a small little prayer group. We call it the Cenacle, because it's actually the Cenacle of Jerusalem reopened for modern times to invoke a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, or a second Pentecost. Our Lady says in her book of locutions given to Father Gobi, there's 604 little messages there, all in a single volume, given over a 25-year period. In these messages, she says that she is asking us to come together in these cenacles at all levels of the church, families, priests, in parishes, in homes, to pray for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can bring the church and the world to where God wants it. You know, as we pray in the Our Father, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. How? On earth as it is in heaven. So only the Holy Spirit, a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a welling up of that Spirit within everybody, can bring about this kingdom, this civilization of love, this triumph of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, and invoking the Holy Spirit, too, that the triumph of our Lord's Eucharistic heart will occur. Our Lady tells us in her messages to Father Gobi, they began about 6 months after he began the first cynical there in northern Italy at Como. Our Lady began to speak to him on a regular basis and told him to write down what she was saying to him, which he, in obedience, he did, you know, as I said, for 25 years. But one of the important parts of that message was to gather together in these little prayer groups called cynicals. The Cynical of Jerusalem reopened for modern times to invoke with Mary, with her, a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So that's, to me, it's so simple, but it's profound. It's wonderful news. And I have personally been a member of the Mary Moon of Priests since I was in the seminary. If I tell you how long ago that was, it kind of makes your head swim, but it was 1978. I was invited by two other seminarians I was at St. Mildred Seminary in southern Indiana, and they invited me to go to the cathedral in Louisville, Kentucky. Father Gobi was going to be there. He was going to lead the rosary. And I said, well, who is he? They told me something, but I didn't know who he was.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I was free that afternoon and evening. So I went with them. They drove. And there was this short, a little bit stocky, her chubby Italian priest, talking in Italian with a translator, his arms kind of going wild like Italians usually talk. And he prayed the rosary and led the cynical. He made the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And as we left, there was a table with the little books on it with the messages. It was today that book's over an inch thick, but back then it was less than a quarter inch thick. And I took a copy of it. I went back to the seminary there at St. Mildred's. I remember going into the library, opening it up, and I began to read, those first messages. And all of a sudden, it was like on the road to Emmaus. My heart was burning within me. I just knew there was something here, that Our Lady really was with us and was giving us some guidance. And her words were filled with grace. There's so much confusion in the church today, and so many funny thoughts and people saying this and that and the other, or the lack of discipline and that type of thing, or the lack of prayer on so many people's parts, even priests. And Our Lady was simply calling us to be faithful to the gospel, to be joyful in the gospel, not to worry, that all this trial we're going through is part of the birth pangs, kind of like a woman giving birth to a child, that will lead to the triumph of her Immaculate Heart, the greatest age the church will ever experience. Kind of like what our Lord said, at the wedding feast of Cana, you have saved the best wine until last. And so Our Lady's kind of telling us that the best age of the church is still to come, but the devil's upset, he's coming out of his hole. He's in the open now. He's not in a trench anymore, and he's coming out violent. He's seeking to destroy everything. He wants to destroy souls. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to create confusion in the hierarchy with the Holy Father, with our priest, and so many other things. And yet he knows his time is short, and that's why he's so very violent. He's furious. But our prayers are actually causing him to lose power. And the more we pray our rosary, especially in the cynicals, and also are faithful to Jesus in our attending devoutly the Mass, the devil's losing it. But he's coming out more and more violent. So it looks like he's in charge of everything. It looks like he's at the summit of his power, which he probably is, but it's so short, and we're simply causing him to lose power and to we're really crushing his head is what we're doing with our prayers, our rosaries, our sacrifices. And if you go back to those three children at Fatima, if you read some of those, what they said, little Jacinta, who is now Saint Jacinta make sacrifices, pray for the Pope, you know, pray for him, make the little sacrifices, even the smallest ones, because God is listening to these prayers. He's accepting these sacrifices, and the fruitfulness of this will be made evident. It will be part of Our Lady's, no doubt, her triumph.
We're with Father Richard Cortese, who is the National Director of the Marian Movement of Priests. Father Gobi, as I understand, he was probably at about four different places that night. he could probably locate and everything else. A real inspiration, though. Tell us how lay people can get involved in these cenacles.
This would be my suggestion. You know, anyone who loves Our Lady and who prays the Rosary, why not pray it in the form of a cenacle? And I would encourage that person or persons or families to make a contact to the national headquarters of the Marian Movement of Priests and to ask for a guide on how to have a cenacle, and they could also request the blue book, we call it, the messages Our Lady speaks to her beloved priest, and in that it explains very easily how they can get together and to form the prayer cenacle. Another way would be to look up or call the national headquarters, Marian Movement of Priests national headquarters, and ask where in the area where they live, you know, in that California area, Sacramento, San Francisco, wherever it is, where there might be those who are having cenacles already, and then they could be invited to join them, and they could learn that way too.
And at these cenacles, people are praying the rosary, I presume?
Yes. It's the way it's expressed is to pray the rosary in the form of a cenacle. Okay, what does that mean? It kind of boils down to five simple steps. First of all, to pray for the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. So we pray that little prayer, very simple. We repeat it three times. Any prayer to the Holy Spirit is certainly acceptable. Then there follows the second step, five decades of the rosary, okay? Any of the sets of mysteries. Then there follows prayer for the Holy Father, the Pope. The Pope is, of course, Pope Francis. We support him, we love him, we pray for him. And so it's as simple as praying an Our Father and a Hail Mary for the intentions, for the well-being and guidance Pope Francis is the third step. Other prayers for him can also be added. The fourth step is to, with the Book of Messages, read a message and slowly and simply meditate on it. To me, it's as if Our Lady is talking, you know. And, you know, when someone talks to you, you just simply listen, usually, and until they finish talking. And that's kind of how it's what it's like, simply to listen to her words. The messages are to me, the most sweet, beautiful, lovely, spirit-filled messages, but so serious as well.
And where's the best place to get these messages?
The copy of the book, for one who wants to form a cenacle, we certainly can give one of the books. A little donation is requested, if possible, to the National Headquarters of the Marian Movement of Priests. In fact, I've got the, it's in St. Francis, Maine. The secretary is Tammy. She's a lovely person, always willing to help. And in fact, there's a website they can look it up on.
Okay.
Or even a phone number that, you know, I think they can get if they look it up on there.
That would be great, because I'm sure a lot of people, including me, are going to want a copy.
That would be great. There's a website, too, for the country as well. And the Book of Messages has over 20 imprimaturs given to it by bishops and cardinals spontaneously over the years. So that's the fourth step, to read the message. To me, those messages are grace-filled, and with them, Our Lady begins to form us and teach us. There's nothing that's not traditional in her messages, but she does following a very traditional point of view, as we would see in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. She also opens up interpretations of the Book of Revelation for us, and she says it should be no surprise that we are moving into these last times, these times of battle. And those who belong to the Mary Moon of Priests form her army, her own army, or cohort, which is a Roman term for soldiers. We form her own army or cohort that are made up of the simple people, the little people, the people who are not really, most of the members of the movement are not in the higher positions. They're the more humble people, but they're the ones that are willing to say yes to Our Lady and to enter into the cynicals. Reading the Book of Messages is the fourth step, and then it finishes with the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The consecration is given, my understanding, it's given by Our Lady to Father Gobi in the form of a locution. So it's not just any consecration to the Immaculate Heart, but it's very specific. It begins with Virgin of Fatima, Mother of Mercy. And so that means that the movement is totally that of Fatima. It's as if Our Lady were wanting to re-empower the message of Fatima, promote it throughout the church and world, in founding the Marian Movement of Priests. And so it's a movement of Fatima. The consecration speaks of consecrating ourselves in a very special way to her Immaculate Heart, so that she can use us for her designs of salvation in these very difficult times through which we and the Church are passing. And, of course, when we give ourselves totally to Mary in the consecration, we're giving her permission to use us. She will reflect her immaculate, all-pure light through us. She will help us in our prayer. She'll make it possible for us to pray with her even more deeply, even though it may not seem that she's giving us these graces. Sometimes it does, but generally, as we pray with her, she is increasing us, making us grow deeper with the messages she instructs us. And so our prayers for the church, for the world, for the Pope, they're intensified. And so that's all part of the consecration. Part of the consecration is we wish to be united with the Holy Father and the hierarchy. That's our bishop. Our bishops firmly adhering to all their directives for us to set up, quote, a barrier to the growing confrontation directed against the magisterium. So we definitely want to support our bishops, love our bishops, pray for them together with the Holy Father, the Pope. And that includes our priests and our deacons. A person who's a member of the Marian Movement of Priests is one who feels the call, wants to dedicate themselves to prayer for the Pope in a special way, and then for their bishops, their priests, their deacons, and simply to support the church, to give impact to its unity, to get the devil out of the way. You know, there used to be a priest, an older priest here in Memphis, who was a member of the Mary Moon of Priests, and one of the cynicals with priests we had in Memphis, Tennessee, where I was at the time. And he was he touched me so deeply. He was cute when he said, we're just going to get, Our Lady's going to get that devil out of the way. He's going to be out of the way. And that's part of the gift to, again, in the consecration to the Father, the hierarchy, the priests, the bishops, so that they can truly be protected. Under your maternal protection, we want, moreover, to be apostles of this sorely needed unity of prayer and love for the Pope, on whom we invoke your special protection. And we can see how there's so much criticism and confusion all around the Pope today. And
yes, sir. Yeah,
people
indeed.
People are saying, "Well, he's not the true Pope, and I don't understand what he's doing." And the devil's having a heyday, trying to encourage people to be bastions of orthodoxy. And yet, we've got to have the Pope. We've got to pray for him. Wherever he is, that's where the Church is. That has not changed. Some of the theories that are cropping up in people's minds, are leading us away from unity with the Pope. The prayer is prayer for the Pope and for the Church is much more powerful than we can ever imagine, and it does much more than criticism could ever do.
Well, that is so well said. Thank you. I pray for the Pope every day, as I know you
yes.
do, and
yes,
you know,
from my teenage years, I've felt this, you know.
I've prayed for all of it, in my lifetime, and I go back to Pope Pius XII, and that was just, that was Pope. I didn't know that there would ever be another Pope. I just thought, Pope forever, and then John the 23rd and Paul the 6th and John Paul the 2nd and Benedict and now Francis, and they're all different,
They're different men, but it's amazing how different they are.
Yeah, and they all have their different charisms, and it's such a remarkable continuity, and one day you're quoting John Paul II, another you're talking about Vatican II, and you're quoting St. John the 23rd, and then one day you're quoting Francis, telling the youth, "I know you don't have time to read everything, so read Matthew 25 and go do it," and then you read some of the stuff from Benedict. It's just a raging intellectual who just breaks it down to very common denominators for all of us, and it's just wonderful.
We're so blessed to be Catholic have the popes, the holy fathers with us, and to love them and support them. I've had over the years Catholics coming up to me and saying, "Thank God I'm Catholic. Thank God, we got the Pope, to guide us in unity." And so much of the confusion and all is not so much the Pope, but it was just all this. In the messages, Our Lady says, "The evil one has been permitted to come into the Church and sift it like wheat for a time, creating confusion and division. But this is simply to purify the Church. The sufferings of this people who suffer confusion, even attacking the Pope, all this is part of the purification that must occur." Our Lady tells us, before the birth of this greatest age of the Church comes about and the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. I'd like to say, too, this is one thing that's come to my mind, Bob, is that Pope Francis has given us some wonderful gifts. He's given us St. Joseph in every Mass now.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, you never heard the name St. Joseph, but now at every Mass, you have St. Joseph. He is the terror of demons. Next to Our Lady, he would be the greatest saint in heaven. He was the spouse of the Virgin Mary. Well, we need him. He's given us the canonizations of three popes. I'm amazed that he's canonized Pope Paul the VI, because he's the one that, Humanae Vitae was contested so strongly, and all the dissent entered into the Church, in my opinion, through that document, which is the defense of family life and of the marriage bed,
What a powerful document, and one that a lot of people were expecting to go the other way.
Absolutely. I remember my senior year in the seminary at St. Mitre in the hallway talking to one of the other seminarians, and I was working on a pro-life project. It was about this time of the year in January, and he began to argue with me about humani vitae, that no, it's okay to use all this artificial means and methods. And I mean, I was taken back by it. I mean, he was countering everything that Pope Paul VI had taught in humani vitae. And I thought, my gosh, where are we at with this? Of course, that would have been, again, back in 78.
Right.
But anyway, I don't know where to go after this, but... Oh, I would like to say one little thing, too, to those who are listening and would be really interested in praying the rosary in their homes or in their families with at least our Lord says two or more in his name, that the Mary Moon of Priests is not like an order in the church or some congregation or something that you necessarily had to sign up for.
Mm-hmm.
It is a movement that belongs to everybody. Our Lady is the mother of all the church, and these messages she's given in the movement to Father Gobi, which is the principal means of spreading the movement, all her words and all those 604 messages really are for everybody. Anybody can read those messages, and the movement is for bishops, priests, deacons, lay people, and just everybody. So the movement is again, it's not limited to structure, organization. It's just simply a spirit that Our Lady has caused to flow through the church.
You know, and all these... All these messages from Mary, Father, you know, there are a lot of, you can go online and read all different kinds of messages. The ones that are authentic, the ones that have been approved by the church, they never contradict the catechism. They never contradict scripture. They never contradict the teachings of Jesus. They don't say, hey, wait a minute, don't do that anymore. We're going to do this. Then, you know, they aren't authentic. And you know, Fatima, of course, has been approved by the church.
Yes, that's so very true. Our Lady will never contradict the teachings of the church or anything that's in the catechism. And in one of the messages, she speaks of her silence before the Pope and his magisterium, her silence with Jesus when he was teaching the gospel, you know, preaching it for those three and a half years. She was silent. Her silence gave power to her prayer of intercession and support, and so she's always 100% with the traditional teachings of the church, and she would never go against the Pope or against any of the teachings. You know, she respects every person, every member of the church, of the hierarchy. She's the mother of the church, and of course, I remember my mother once. I was going through a difficult period in the earlier years of my priesthood, and without saying a word, she got up every morning, and she must have gotten up at 5 a.m., and she went down to the St. Louis Church, about 15 minutes drive away, and for 30 days, for a whole month, she attended the 6 a.m. Mass, offering every communion, every Mass for me.
Hmm.
Well, what a wonderful faith. I came through the little problem eventually, you know.
Yeah.
But I have no doubt that my mother, what she did, and she didn't say a word to me. It was only later that I discovered or found out she had done this. But, my gosh, what a wonderful support that was.
Oh, boy.
That's kind of that's what Our Lady does. That's how she is. She doesn't come out and criticize or knock us down. Sometimes she'll inspire us one way or the other. Sometimes we might get a sense of a serious desire of hers, but more often than not, she supports us with her love, her prayers. She knows us. She accepts us, even in sinfulness. She is our mother. You know, a mother will love her child no matter what. I've been working with the Spanish-speaking people my whole priesthood. I was able to learn Spanish early on, and the Hispanic mothers love their children, you know, and they're always praying for them. And it's a beautiful thing to see how, even in situations that are actually dire, these mothers are there praying for them, praying the rosaries, constantly praying for them. And it's such a wonderful gift to that. That's the way Our Lady is with it. Also, we have the Book of Messages in the Spanish language.
Mm-hmm.
We have guides in the Spanish language. And I want to encourage the movement to flow into our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters within their churches, homes, and that type of thing, or in any of the cultural groups or different language groups. The movement is for everybody because Mary is the mother of all the church, every culture, every language, every person. She is our loving mother. And how blessed we are to have such a wonderful mother. She says, "Why? Don't be afraid. Don't worry." It's kind of like Pope Francis is saying, "Be joyful in the gospel. The joy of the gospel. Be joyful." And in the messages, she tells us that, you know, don't be afraid. You know, be joyful. You know, I'm with you. You know, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and the gospel's full of good news.
Absolutely. You know?
The church is teaching good news, you know. The notion in this very divided world that one day all these faiths are going to be together. What a miraculous day that will be.
It's amazing to think, you know. We're really in the process of seeing some of this happening, you know, today. You know, this openness we have with other peoples and religions, you know, emphasizing our humanity. We share a common humanity, but that's where the faith, that's the soil where the faith is rooted, is in our humanity. That's how we love each other, smile at each other. And anybody, no matter who you are, knows goodness from evil. I mean, if you do good things to people, they pick it up. You know, if there's love, they will pick it up. And that's the foundation of the beginnings of spiritual and religious unity is that dialogue of love. And Our Lady guides us with that too so much. And
Father, it is such an honor to talk with you. And I actually am anxious for the show to end so I can get on the phone and get my copy of the messages.
Yes, you please get that. That copy of the messages, and you know, again, you can get it by looking up the Marian Movement of Priests.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give you the national headquarters and the number to call or the website. And you can't order a book over the website, but you can call the national headquarters, and the Secretary Tammy will be happy to give you a book. It's a little. You offer a little donation that would help with expenses.
And a city in Maine named after St. Francis.
St. Francis. From St. Francis, Maine, there's a river called the St. John River. You can look across the river, and there's Canada.
It's right on the border.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like a winter wonderland up there.
Oh, I bet. I bet it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Lots of snow, too, they say.
Yeah.
Bob, I've enjoyed so much talking with you and sharing with you, and I'm so appreciative and grateful that you have thought to call me and make the interview. And again, I pray for for you and the people of California.
Thank you.
Especially our bishops, our priests, our deacons, and our lay people, the families. I feel so blessed. Be able to share and talk about the Mary Moon, the priest, anything with Our Lady. And she's our wonderful mother, and her Immaculate Heart is full of grace and full of love for all of us. So thank you so much, Bob, for this opportunity and the time to share and talk.
Well, Father, thanks so much for all you do. Thanks for you making the time for us, and God bless your mission. God bless your work and all of the folks that work with you. And I hope our paths cross again soon.
Thank you. It means a lot to me. I ask God to bless all of y'all, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Father. God bless. We'll talk.
God bless you now.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. What a very interesting man. And what a... But I can feel the chills. The Marian Movement of Priests, National Director, Father Richard Cortese. And again, the national headquarters are in St. Francis, Maine. And he says you can call the Secretary Tammy there and get these 602 messages, which are central to the Marian Movement of Priests, and form your own cenacle. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Mark Ross from the Diocese of Sacramento Black Catholic Ministry. This is the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for all you do for the Black Catholic Ministry and for all of us here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, the God-given right to life, who is not in favor of that? And eating a lot of pasta, who's not in favor of that? Well, we have a combination of the two, and here to tell us all about it is Adam Strzok. Adam, good day.
Thanks for having me on today, Bob.
Yeah, good to hear your voice. Pasta for life. It sounds like you just won a contest. I get pasta for life.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I just saw, I forget what it was. It was some commercial product, and they had... somebody had done something unexpected for them, and they said, we're going to give this person, and it wasn't pasta, it was something else, for life. And I thought, what does that actually mean? And it was like one package of sausages per week for or something like that, you know? I thought, but I might want to eat it every day. But,
every day, right.
So who doesn't like pasta? Do we know? Is there anybody that doesn't like pasta?
I think everybody likes pasta.
I think so. That's why there's such a worldwide shortage. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
tell us about this great event.
Okay, well, Pasta for Life is an annual fundraiser put on by Knights of Columbus Sacramento Council 953. It's a fundraiser for the Sacramento Life Center and the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home, two very wonderful pro-life charities here in Sacramento. And as I think a lot of your listeners know, one of the main missions of the Knights of Columbus is defending the sanctity and dignity of life.
Absolutely.
And so this is our Council 953's way of one of the ways in which we attempt to do so by aiding these two charities that do so much to protect life here.
Yeah, and you know, and these, both the Bishop Hagos Maternity Home and the Sacramento Life Center, are they're focused on the beginnings of life. And yet the Knights, you're focused all the way through. You have the wonderful National Wheelchair Program. You have so many programs. I remember talking to the people after Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, and just disaster people, and they said, we could not have recovered without the Knights of Columbus. They just descended on us.
Right, and charity is at the heart of everything we do. I mean, our mission is to live out Christ's message of faithful service to others, and as you mentioned, there's just several ways that we do that in helping after disasters. You mentioned the wheelchair program, backpacks for kids, so many different things that we do.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. So this Pasta for Life will be February 15th.
That's correct.
Day after Valentine's Day, and it will be at the Newman Court at Sacramento State.
That's right, the Knights of Columbus Hall, right across from the Newman Center. Yes.
Right, yeah, at Newman Court, I meant.
Correct.
Yeah, which is just across J Street there, and a beautiful facility. And tell us, besides pasta, what is going to be on the menu?
Okay, we've got a great evening planned for you. It's always a lot of fun. We've got antipasto, salad, all-you-can-eat pasta, and Italian sausage, Italian green beans, desserts. Where else can you get a five-course Italian dinner for $20 and help charity at the same time? I mean, you can't do it. It's a lot of fun. We have a raffle throughout the evening. We've got some of the prizes include gift certificates to local businesses, gift baskets, Sacramento Republic FC tickets we have this year.
Oh, good.
So it should be a lot of fun. All the proceeds, again, are split between the Sacramento Life Center and the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home.
I've always wondered about that word, antipasto, you know, and I'm going, wait a minute, is that kind of the, is it against pasta? What's the deal?
Well, I'm pro-pasta, that's for sure.
So, I guess the difference between pasta and pasto. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. So how can people get tickets?
Okay. Tickets, you can go to Council 953's website, KOFC953.org.
Do you ever get confused with Kentucky Fried Chicken?
We joke about that a bit, yeah.
Because you got that F in there, you know, KOFC.
Yeah, I don't want to disappoint anyone. There's not going to be fried chicken at Pasta for Life.
No, so. Wouldn't you just love to see the Colonel show up at the pasta feed? That's very good.
Yeah, so you can go to our website, KOFC953.org, or call 916-914-5041, and we'll get you a reservation, $20 per person.
Oh, what's a deal?
What a deal, $20 per person. It's, again, Saturday, February 15th. Doors open at 6 o'clock. We have a no-host bar available, including several beers on tap. We'll serve dinner around 7 p.m. and sell raffle tickets throughout the night and encourage everybody to come on out. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's for a worthy cause.
Can people show up at the door?
Absolutely. We'll have tickets available at the door. Unless we sell out. We've had to turn people away in the past, but that's a good thing. $30 at the door, but if you reserve them in advance, we'll give you the $20 price.
Okay, very good. And if you're sold out ahead of time, let us know, and
sure.
we'll get that on the air. But again, it is February 15th, Newman Court at the or just across from Sac State at the wonderful Knights of Columbus 953 headquarters there, and it's a Saturday night. What better thing could you be doing on a Saturday night in February?
Absolutely.
Adam, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for all you do.
Appreciate it, Bob. Thank you so much.
God bless. That's Adam Struck from the Knights of Columbus Council 953, and what great work they do. The 17th annual Valentine Run, the Race for Justice, will take place on February 8th, sponsored by Legal Services of Northern California. Saturday, February 8th, rain or shine. This will be on the backside of Country Club Plaza, which is at 2310 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. You're asked to park in front of the mall if possible, and don't park near the banks or the farmer's market. Be respectful of the businesses that are open that early. And that will also be open during the run and the walk. Race day registration begins at 6:30 a.m. There's a quarter-mile kids' fun run for 0 to 5-year-olds at 8 a.m. There's a half-mile kids' fun run at 8:10 a.m. A half-mile kids' fun run at 8:20, and the different ages are 0 to 5, 6 to 9, 10 to 12. And then the 4-mile and 1.8-mile main event. Some people walk, some people run. Some people run very fast. Some people go very slowly. That will be at 8:35 a.m., and then the award ceremony will follow the main event. Also, on Thursday night, January 30th, the Gator Rally and Carb Load. Prior to this, 9 days prior, Gator Appreciation Night, the Old Spaghetti Factory, 1910 J Street here in Sacramento, all to benefit legal aid, 6 to 8 p.m. Proceeds will support legal services of Northern California, and a portion of your ticket price will be donated to legal aid. And then again, the 17th annual Valentine's Run on Saturday, February 8th. And if you've never been to the Spaghetti Factory, it's 15% they're going to give of your dinner's proceeds to legal aid. You can go to their website to print the flyer to be sure you get it. The Spaghetti Factory, of course, 1910 J Street, right here in downtown Sacramento, right by the railroad tracks there, 916-443-2862. Also, we, you know, have had Paul Starkey, the former president of the Sacramento St. Vincent de Paul, explained to us that they're going to have the their annual speaker coming in on the 24th of April. So you'll want to circle the date for the dinner for the poor. It's going to be another great event here in the Diocese of Sacramento. All at the DoubleTree. A great speaker coming in. The president of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Nationally, a great speaker will be coming in to address everybody on April the 24th. So be sure and circle the date, and we'll show you how to get tickets for that as well. And the Western Region meeting and workshops of the St. Vincent de Paul will take place May 21st to 23rd. They're going to have it right here in Sacramento. Mass at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, celebrated by Bishop Soto, and all kinds of wonderful events in English and Spanish. So just circle that date as well, May 21 to May the 23rd. And so much happening, and here in the Pope's ad limina visit was on Monday of this week, and he will be in Rome for a few days. And if you go to the website of the Diocese of Sacramento, scd.org, you can read all about it. The bishop is filing daily reports, daily communique, if you will, of his experiences in Rome with his fellow bishops from this region, all the bishops of California. Bishop Wiegand is there as well, all the bishops of California and Nevada and the great state of Alaska. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2255. 2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, that God is love and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for my knees, and I am lost for words, so